Let's take our Bibles right now and turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter number 3, and if you'll find that verse 2, I'd like us just to maybe read this verse out loud together as we have our next lesson, lesson number 12 on hymnology in Sunday school here. Lesson number 12 is the 12th hymn. We've tried to choose different hymns. Every one has had a different theme. And this is a theme about comfort. This song that we're studying today, In the Sweet By and By, is the hymn, In the Sweet By and By. And it's about comfort, or in particular, being comforted by the future. Being comforted by the future, or our future. Colossians 3 and verse 2. Let's read this together just a couple times out loud. Ready? Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Let's read that again. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And we all have affection. Everybody has affection. You can find the hardest man on earth, and if he's got a dog, he loves his dog, or loves his cat, or something. Every one of us, God has given us affection, and we direct that affection towards someone or something, and that affection is supposed to be directed towards the things above and not on the things on the earth. Now, there's some really good medicine right there in that verse, a real good medicine for the soul. If you'll set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. So today we study the song, In the Sweet By and By. And as usual, I'd like to read a couple accounts of the history of this song. And this one, again, is from Songs in the Night by Henry Garapi, this book. In the Sweet By and By, subtitled, Prescription from a Drugstore. Prescription from a Drugstore. Sanford Bennett, who lived 1836 to 1898, a music teacher and instrumentalist, owned a drugstore in Elkhorn, Wisconsin. His friend, Joseph Webster, notice his name top right of the hymn, he wrote the music, Sanford Bennett wrote the words. His friend, Joseph Webster, who had frequent bouts with depression, would often come to the store. Together they would compose songs that helped Webster come out of his melancholy. One day Webster entered the drugstore, obviously despondent. When Bennett inquired of the difficulty, Webster replied, "It's really nothing. It will be all right by and by." His reply sparked an inspiration in Bennett. Bennett responded, "The Sweet By and By. That would make a good hymn." Sitting at his desk in the drugstore, Bennett wrote the words as they seemed to pour from his mind. He handed the sheet of paper to Webster, who brightened quickly. Webster reached for his violin, tuned it, and began to compose a melody for the hurriedly written lyrics. In less than 30 minutes from the time Webster had walked into the store in a depressed mood, he and Bennett and two customers who happened to be in the store were heartily singing a new song, The Sweet By and By. It was finally published in 1868 and since has been a source of inspiration to many, often being sung at funerals. Drugstores are places where people go for prescriptions for all kinds of maladies. This hymn was born in a drugstore as a prescription for depression. May its message of comfort and joy lift our spirits this day. Our lives are so geared to this earth that we rarely think of heaven and what God is preparing for us. When discouragement would overtake us, let us look from the temporal to the eternal, from what earthly circumstances may inflict us to what God is doing within and for us. Let us remember that God is preparing a place that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has provided, prepared for them that love him. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Take heart. Our future is in his hands, and it will surpass our most daring dreams. So isn't that interesting, a little ironic, that in a drugstore, this man with constant bouts of depression would go to the pharmacist, Dr. Sanford Bennett, just for some time, and there would get a prescription, not drugs for his depression, not medicines, but a song about the future, a song about heaven. And that future, looking to the future, would be a comfort to him now. And in 1/2 hour, it says here, he brightened up by helping compose this song. So maybe you have bouts with depression. I don't. I thank the Lord. I have other problems, but that's not one thing that I've ever had problems with, is depression. But some of you maybe do, and it would do you good, as it says here in Colossians 3 and verse 2, to set your affection on things above, not on the things of this earth. And so Dr. Sanford Bennett would try to get this friend, whenever he came into the store, to maybe write a song that would look towards the Lord. Okay, here's a little bit of a longer account in 101 More Hymn Histories. This book is by Kenneth Osbeck. And this not only tells the story of the hymn, but gives us a little more insight into the author of the music, Joseph Webster. And this, I think, will bless your heart. It starts out with John 14, verses 2 and 3, quoted in here, "In my Father's house are many mansions. But were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So Jesus gave us these pictures of the future, of what it's going to be like, so we could bring the future back to now, and so it could comfort us and help us. There's really no excuse for us being melancholy or depressed when we have so much to look forward to. Well, let me read the story. This simple gospel hymn, "The Sweet By and By," has been a sentimental favorite with many of God's people, especially as a comforting funeral hymn. Since it first appeared in 1868 in a hymnal entitled "The Signet Ring," a new collection of music and hymns composed for Sunday schools by Joseph Webster. That's the name, that was the title of the book. "The Signet Ring," a new collection of hymns, music and hymns composed for Sunday schools. That was the name of it. Compiled by Joseph Webster, notice his name at the top on the right. Following the close of the Civil War, Sanford Bennett, the author, returned to Elkhorn, Wisconsin, where he became the proprietor of the local drugstore while also studying medicine. Joseph Webster, the composer of the music, was a music teacher and was recognized as the town's leading musician. These two gentlemen often met in Bennett's drugstore for friendly discussions. Bennett tells this story of how Webster, violin under his arm, dropped in to see him one quiet winter morning. And this is his account. "Mr. Webster was of an exceeding nervous and sensitive nature, and subject to periods of depression, in which he looked upon the dark side of all things in life. I had learned his peculiarities so well that on meeting him I could tell at a glance if he was depressed, and had found that I could rouse him by giving him a new song on which to work. He came into my place of business, walked down to the stove, and turned his back to me without speaking. I was at my desk writing. Turning to him, I said, 'Webster, what is the matter now?' It's no matter, he replied. It will be all right by and by. The idea came to me like a flash of lightning, and I replied, the sweet by and by. Why would not that make a good hymn? Maybe it would, he said indifferently. Turning to my desk, I penned the words as fast as I could write. I handed the words to Webster. As he read the words, his eyes kindled. And stepping to the desk, he began writing the notes. Taking his violin, he played the melody and then jotted down the notes of the chorus. It was not over 30 minutes from the time I took my pen to write the words before two friends with Webster and myself were singing the hymn. That was his account. Sanford Fillmore Bennett had a varied and illustrious career. He was born at Eden, New York, on June 21st, 1836, and died on June 12, 1868, in Richmond, Indiana. We used to have a distant relative of his attending our church here. He was born right here in Eden. He was converted at a Methodist revival meeting. Bennett was educated at the University of Michigan and later served briefly as the superintendent of schools in Richmond, Illinois, before moving to Elkhorn, Wisconsin, to become the associate editor of a weekly newspaper called The Independent. During the Civil War, Bennett served as a second lieutenant in the 40th Wisconsin Volunteers. It was after the war that he returned to Elkhorn and became proprietor of the local drugstore and studied medicine at the Rush Medical College, from which he graduated in 1874. Dr. Bennett practiced medicine for the next 22 years. Throughout his lifetime, he also wrote a considerable amount of both prose and verse, with his first poems appearing in the Waukegan Gazette in the early 1850s. Sweet By and By is Bennett's only hymn text still in use, however. Now, Joseph Philbrick Webster was recognized as a talented musician in his day. He studied music with Lowell Mason in Boston, Massachusetts, and spent several years in New York and Connecticut teaching music and giving concerts. He was said to have been proficient in playing the flute, violin, and piano. Because of his strong anti-slavery convictions, Webster moved to Elkhorn, Wisconsin, shortly before the outbreak of the war. He is credited with more than 1,000 musical compositions, with his most popular song being Lorena, a secular number. Webster was the compiler of a Sunday school hymnal called The Signet Ring, in which Sweet By and By first appeared in 1868. Joseph Webster died at the age of 56. Today, visitors to Elkhorn, Wisconsin may visit the Webster home and see the authentic 19th century home of the composer of this hymn and view the violin that was first used to play the melody of this beloved gospel hymn. And for some reason, it ends with a quote from a man named James Drummond Burns from a book called His Last Words. I don't know why, but it makes sense. His last words were these: I have been dying for 20 years. Now I am going to live. Man, good attitude to have. I've been dying for 20 years. Now I'm going to live. So we got our song today, The Sweet By and By. We've gone through the history of it here. Sanford Bennett, born right here in Eden, New York, where our church is, and migrating out to Wisconsin, became a drugstore owner, and had a friend who was very, very depressed. I don't know what he was depressed about. Some people just are. As Sanford Bennett said, he had the horrible habit of just looking on the dark side of everything. Everything was dark, and he'd always get melancholy and depressed, but Sanford Bennett knew that if he could just get him involved in music and thinking about the Lord, it would brighten him up. And as a result, in a drugstore, we have this psalm that has been medicine to the soul for so long to so many. All right. Now, the thoughts of this song are supposed to comfort us. In the Bible, we are told that we do receive comfort. We receive comfort from the doctrine of the second coming of Christ, and we receive comfort from the future, and that is looking to those mansions, looking to the New Jerusalem by faith, not fantasy, but by faith in the fact of God's Word who already told us about the future. So this hymn is about heaven, but it's more about heaven. It's about having hope now and comfort now and actually bringing our future back to us now to help us and minister to us today. Just try to take for a moment and imagine what it is like for those without Christ who have no hope in their future. They can't pull anything out of their future and bring it back to them now and comfort them. Just imagine those other religions in the world, major religions and minor religions, that give their followers no hope in the future. The future can't help them now, but our future can help us now. It was sad several years ago when the last pope of Roman Catholic religion was dying, and how there was even great debate among their theologians over whether or not their pope would go directly to heaven or if he'd have to even spend some time in purgatory. What a horrible thought. I thank God for the sure promises of the Word to the true believer in Christ that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and that our God and our religion and our book tells us about our future. And it's something we can draw upon now to comfort us as they did when they were writing this song back in the 1800s. Our future is written out for us. So now we can bring it back to us. And on the worst day of our life, it can brighten that day as we look forward to our future. This song captures that spirit, and I think that's why it's been so popular for so long in the body of Christ. The way to survive the nasty now and now is to keep your focus on the sweet by and by. As we're taught in our verse today, set your affection on things above, not on things on this earth. Boy, you look at the things of this earth, and the Bible says it's going to get so bad. In Luke 21, it says, men's hearts will be failing them in the last days for looking after those things that are coming on the earth. Boy, you're going to have heart trouble if you focus on the things of this world. So watch out, brethren, for newspapers and news broadcasts on television and all this bad news, bad news, bad news, bad news. Boy, you're going to end up depressed yourself. But the Bible says, set your affection on things above, not on the things on the earth. And that's what Sanford Bennett did. And that's what he got his friend to do. And at least he helped him for a short time. I wrote a book this year called Oranology, and it's all written and ready to print. We haven't printed it out yet. But it was a little study I did on the doctrine of heaven. Boy, some of you were here for those classes. And that thing, just I think it blessed my heart as much as anything I've ever written, just to focus on heaven and the New Jerusalem and that heavenly city and everything. So let's look at the song, and then we'll look at the scriptures and just kind of go through these statement by statement and compare some scriptures to them. The song, Sweet By and By, says, there's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. It should be our practice by faith to look for that city in that country. Now, it doesn't matter if you're a city person or a country person. God has a verse for you in Hebrews 11. And it tells us that others who have walked before us survived by looking forward to their future. That's how they made it. And we can survive also by having our faith and our face towards the future. Let's read in Hebrews 11, verses 9 through 10. It says about Abraham, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, Hebrews 11:9, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Now notice what Abraham did. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He had a difficult life, Abraham did, and so did Sarah, his wife. I try not to criticize those two very much, because I wouldn't want to walk 10 feet in their shoes, let alone a mile. But the Lord told him, I want you to leave Ur of the Chaldees, which is up in the northern part of Iraq today, we believe. And he says, I want you to head for somewhere else. I'm not going to tell you where you're going. And by faith, it says, Abraham went out, not knowing whither he went, verse 8. Now, I can't imagine doing that. I kind of like to know what's going on. But the Bible says what helped them to endure was for he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Even way back then, he knew about his heavenly home. He knew about the new Jerusalem, the spiritual city. And he looked for a city which had foundations. That was what kept Abraham going. He says, you know, I got to sojourn in this life not knowing where I'm going, but there's coming a day where I'm going to end up. My final address is going to be in a city which has foundations, a literal place. And that's what helped Abraham get through life, his sojourn of faith. Now, maybe you're a country person. You don't like the city idea. Look at verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but had seen them afar off. See, they looked into the future and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. See, they didn't have their affection on things on the earth. They just said, we're just strangers, we're just pilgrims, we're just passing through here. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. All right, so you country dwellers, there's your verse. Some look for a city like Abraham, others look for a country, it doesn't matter. God thought of everything. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. In other words, they may have been tempted to go back and said, you know, where we used to live is better than where God led us. But they weren't mindful from where they came from. They were mindful of where they were going. That's what it says here. And verse 16, but now they desire a better country that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. See? They walked away from the things of this earth. They walked away from the city. They weren't even mindful of where they came from. And you know, when we get saved, we ought to turn our back on the world and not go back to what we once were. We ought to set our affection and say, you know, God has a better country for us. And I'm just going to spend the rest of my life looking upward to that city, to that country that God's made for me, and I'm just going to go in that direction. I'm not going backwards. And so the song is right. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. And then the next statement is, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. These are what we read earlier from John 14. It says, in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm glad we use the King James Bible, amen? Those new versions say there's many rooms and dwellings. I like mansions. I just like to stick to what the Bible said. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. These were the words of comfort Jesus began his last message with before his crucifixion. The night before he's crucified, he said, I want you to know. And he started out that great sermon, which ended in prayer, John 14, 15, 16, and then 17 was prayer. First words he says, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. We ought not to be a depressed people. We ought not to be a troubled people. Let not your heart be troubled. And he said, how? Because in my Father's house are many mansions. I want you to look upward. I want you to look forward. And so the song is accurate. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In Revelation 21, he says, and God shall be with them, and they shall be his people, and he will dwell with them. We're going to see God. We're going to see the triune God, and God's going to dwell with us. He's not going to stick us off in some city somewhere. He's going to be with us in that city. And by faith, we should look up. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. Well, let's look at the other verses. Verse 2. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed. There are three examples of singing in heaven in the book of Revelation. Three examples of singing in heaven. And so we know there's singing in heaven. It's not something we just made up. We're going to sing in heaven. Revelations 5 and verse 9. Let me give you the three examples in Revelation where John speaks about heaven. He says this, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. What a place heaven's going to be. Every kindred, every tongue, and people and nation is going to be present. They're going to represent their land. They're going to be saved. They're all going to sing to the Lord that he's worthy. We're going to worship Jesus Christ in song in heaven. And then the next song is in chapter 14 of Revelation. This is a unique song that only some are going to sing. Sometimes there's special music in church. You ever notice that congregational church that everyone sings, but then there's special music? There's going to be some special music. And only the 144,000 are going to sing this. And it says in verse 3, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000. Which were redeemed from the earth. So there's a special 144,000 are going to walk this earth. I don't know when Jesus is going to come, but if he's going to come soon, they're already alive. These are virgins, men of Israel, out of every one of the 12 tribes who are going to get saved at the very start of the tribulation period. They're going to be raptured out about halfway through the tribulation period. And they're going to be servants of God. They're going to follow the Lamb whithersoever they go. They're not going to be defiled by women. That means they're never going to commit fornication or anything like that. And they are going to have a special place in heaven for them. And they're going to be the choir. And we're going to listen to them sing a song that they're going to be the only ones that are going to know the words to it. They're going to be the only ones that know the words to it. So there's going to be special music in heaven. There's going to be congregational singing. All of us, Revelations 5, 9, and then there's going to be special music, Revelations 4, verse 3, 14, verse 3. And then there's another song, Revelations 15, verse 3 says, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. So again, we have congregational music. Congregational music. And this is the song of Moses. And so I don't know. You know, it could be, and I said this when we studied Revelation, it could be that some human authors down here on earth will have their song sung in heaven. If not, at least Moses will, because it says it's the song of Moses. A very special song. So getting back to our hymn, verse 2, we shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirits shall sorrow no more. Are our spirits in heaven? Yes. Hebrews 12 and verse 23 says, the spirits of just men made perfect are in heaven. That's the inner man that houses the emotions and the attitudes and the will. See, you and I are a trichotomy, a body, a soul, and a spirit. God's going to give us a new body at the resurrection. But at the death of the believer or the rapture, also our spirits and our souls are taken to heaven. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, it talks about that real bad guy who was committing fornication with his mother, and he was put out of the church. The Lord said this about him, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Small s. Our spirits will sorrow no more. So this guy, Joseph Webster, who wrote the music, he was full of sorrow. He was full of depression. And can you just see Sanford Bennett writing there in his drugstore, thinking about his friend Joseph Webster, and he says, you know, someday our spirits are going to sorrow no more. Joseph's not going to have any more bouts of depression. Praise the Lord. Now, I think we can overcome it in this life, but I know dead sure we're going to overcome it in the next life. Our spirits will sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessing of rest. We're going to have so much rest. Now, are we sure about this thing about sorrow? What's the last word on sorrow in the Bible? We just read his song, Our Spirits Shall Sorrow No More. What's the Bible say about sorrow? What's the last word? Well, the last time the word sorrow ever appears in the Bible, it's in Revelation 21:4. It says this, And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. There will be no remembrance of those things, Isaiah 65, verse 17. There won't be any more sorrow in heaven. Thank God for that. Amen? And I hope that those of you that do struggle with depression, that's not one of my problems. I got other problems. But I hope you look forward to heaven. Keep your eyes on that city, that country. Those mansions and the fact that there will be no more sorrow. God's going to wipe it all away. So he's accurate in this song. We will sing on that beautiful soft shore. The melodious songs of the blessed. Yes, they'll be singing in heaven. And our spirits will sorrow no more. Not a sigh. Not one sigh in heaven. For the blessing of rest. Now the last verse, quickly. For our to our bountiful Father above, we will offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of his love and the blessings that hallow our day. So it's just the last verse is just one that says, let's just thank God for this. It's basically what he's saying in verse 3. The sweet by and by. Let's just thank God, he's saying in his third verse, for what we've learned in verses 1 and 2. Let's just thank the Lord for heaven, for that city, that country, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Let's just praise the Lord and give him the glory. You know, it says, my meditation of him shall be sweet, Psalm 104, verses 33 and 34. And I like the first word of this song, sweet by and by. The sweet by and by. Heaven's going to be a sweet place. No bitterness there. No sourness there. No sorrow. No sighing. So Sanford Bennett was born here in Eden, New York. The author of the words. God led him to open up a drugstore in Elkhorn, Wisconsin. And he had a despondent customer, Joseph Webster. He didn't give him any drugs that day, did he? Didn't give him any pharmaceuticals, didn't give him any medications. He just gave him thoughts about heaven. The sweet by and by, and the despondent one picked up his violin and wrote the music, and it ministered to his heart. Brightened his day. Brightened his day. So I hope that's what this song will do for you. There is a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. We shall sing on that beautiful shore. The melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirits shall sorrow no more, not a sigh, for the blessing of rest. To our bountiful Father above, we shall offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of his love and the blessings that hallow our days. The chorus in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore. I didn't give you the verses, but because time's up, but if you write down Revelation 22, verses 1 through 5, it tells you in the last chapter of the Bible about that beautiful shore. the clear crystal river of life flowing from the throne, and the throne of mass of saved humanity on that sea of glass, clear as crystal, before the throne. Yes, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Amen. Well, I had to go to my aunt's funeral this week, but thank God for songs like the Sweet By and By. And they played it there at her funeral. She was 91 years old, son's a Baptist preacher down in Maryland. Thank God for songs like that. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Sunday school and this 11th hymn now that we've studied, and every one has a different theme. This one is comfort now. Comfort and hope now from looking to our future. Thank you that we have a future, we can see it by faith, and we can bring it back to October 28, 2007, and our future can help us now. And I pray for those in this room who have struggles with melancholy and depression, that they would obey the scriptures that says, set your affection on things above, not on the things of this earth. Now we pray thy Holy Spirit would minister to us in this service to follow. Oh God, help us. Give us ears to hear what you want to say to us. May we be submissive to it, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.